Everybody, including you, including me, needs a little help. Even if you have trouble admitting it. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. It's just that simple. And if your sales needs help, it may be time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy and gamified way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn some new advanced strategies to close the next deal. You know, sales, closing, that's what it's all about. Or creating the atmosphere where the other person wants to buy. We have hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting, you name it. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge anywhere on the planet that you can actually use 1 minute after you learn it. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com today and sign up for a free demo. I love free, and so will you.
They said, oh, they took those plaques down. So I don't know if I ever want it or not, because I could never see it. So there's no proof.
Oh, my goodness.
You should offer to buy it from them and have everybody else's plaque and put them up and make your own museum.
So I left that building. I turned to my wife and I said, well, gosh, I guess we got to go do it all over again. So here we go.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. This is Sell or Die, the only sales podcast on the planet that isn't afraid to say you're either selling or you're dying. Because there's no second place in sales. Win or go hungry. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. And today, we are going to help you sell like hell.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a great guest coming up. But first, we want to introduce you to the one, the only, our man behind the curtain, behind the glass wall.
Wait, it's a glass window.
What? You know, it's a metaphor here. It's okay. Our amazing producer, Mr. Doug Branson. Hey, Doug.
Hello, Jeffrey. Hello, Jennifer. I want to remind everyone they can subscribe to this podcast and share it with their friends on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Overcast, wherever you get your podcast. Just search Sell or Die and make sure to leave us a review. We always love getting feedback from the diehards out there.
Five stars or nothing.
That's
Doug
right.
Doug sounds amazing on the mic.
We're the Uber of podcasts. We want a five-star rating.
Except we don't rate you. You only rate us. And don't forget to join us for Motivation Mondays, our live sales meeting on Facebook.com/Jeffrey Gittimer. We put on the podcast feed as well. But if you join us live on Facebook, you get to see us, interact with us, engage with us, ask us questions, or just say hello.
Okie dokie. Let's get to the rest of the show. It's time to sell or die. Dallin Larson is the CEO of Viseo, and it's a direct selling company that sells health and wellness products, and there are many of them, but his is different. He's created many businesses, including two direct selling businesses, with one being the fastest growing sales, $49.3 million in 1 year, and $12 million in the first month. Come on. He won the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award in 2009. You know, my buddy Bob Salvin won it, I think, in 2010.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's
Salvin
so
Dental.
Cool.
And it's a big award, by the way. I mean, you can't win that award if you're, like, slouching about it. This is not like the Inc. 500. This is not a bullshit award. This is a genuine award. The same award was won by Michael Dell, Jeff Bezos, and Sergey Brin. Wow. So, and Bob Salvin.
That's right.
So I now know two of those award winners because I don't know the other guys personally, although I have done seminars for them. So tell us about, I don't want to start with your history. I'd like to start with your present. Tell me about what makes network marketing or direct selling attractive today.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, Jeff and Jan.
Pleasure.
We're glad you're
well,
here.
I've been at this. I've been at this for 30 years. So, you know, I'm not very good at a lot of things in life, but I'm pretty good at networking and direct sales. That's kind of it's where I planted my flag 30 years ago. I grew up not thinking. You know, I didn't grow up saying one day when I grow up I'm going to get into network marketing. But
right,
you know, it's those thin threads in life. But I think today, I mean, it's always a good time, in my opinion, for anybody who wants to go create a stream of income in their life. And I think it provides the most level playing field for the average person to go out there and create an extra 500 a month or a couple thousand a month or whatever their goals are and whatever they're willing to go fight for.
Yeah, I don't see any flaw in that at all. I will tell you, I started in network marketing in 1972, probably way, way, way before you were born.
And thanks, Jeff.
No problem. And the one thing that I learned was I learned positive attitude and I learned personal development, and the things that direct selling and network marketing teaches you cannot be taken away in your lifetime. No matter what you do, if you choose to stay in or get out, those skills, that personal development part of the process, stays with you literally every day of your life.
Yeah, I think it's the great laboratory in personal development and network marketing, direct selling. It's like putting a magnifying glass over your life, and it magnifies your greatest strengths and your greatest weaknesses, mm-hmm. and it gives you an opportunity to work on those things. So that's one, definitely one of the greatest things about the industry that I've experienced. Look, I'm the guy that got the lowest college entrance exam of anyone you will ever interview, period, and it's not even up for question.
I'll tell you, I was close. I was very, very close.
Oh, I'll put my score up next year's any day, Jeff, and on Sunday.
Okay. But I was you might have cared about it. I didn't give a shit.
So I didn't either. I was in a rock and roll band and I was having a good time in high school. But I was, look, I got a 13 on the ACT.
Oh yes.
I've never met the person that got lower. I was slugged in the face by my high school principal. I was told I'd never graduate from high school by my high school coach.
Yeah, I love those.
I had 12 careers after I got out of high school. My mom called me once and said, "Dallin, when are you going to find something and stick with it?" I said, "When I can find something I'm passionate about, because I've got one life and I'm not willing to compromise my time. I want to do something that I enjoy." And I was introduced to this industry 30 years ago. And my gosh, I've helped create two global companies, and this is the third one, and paid out billions of dollars to families around the world. And you're right. So for some reason, they gave me that Ernst & Young Award, which, a funny story, 2 months ago, my wife and I were in Manhattan. And I said, "You know, I've never looked at that a plaque that's on that. You know, I've had people say, you ought to go check that out. It's on like a third floor in Manhattan at the Ernst & Young building." So we went over there, and to try to get through security, it was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And like 40 minutes later, you know what their answer to me was when I was still not able to get up to the second or third floor where supposedly the plaques were? They said, "Oh, they took those plaques down." So
oh.
I ever wanted it or not, because I could never see it. So there's no proof of it.
Oh, my goodness.
You should offer to buy it from them and have everybody else's plaque and put them up and make your own museum.
So I left that building. I turned to my wife and I said, "Well, gosh, I guess we got to go do it all over again." So here we go.
That's pretty interesting. I think, though, that there's some things that are in direct selling that are worthwhile to compete, that are worthwhile to repeat to our diehards.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a philosophy about how a person makes it in direct selling?
Yeah. I mean, look, everyone's got to look in the mirror and say, if it is to be, it's up to me. But here's where, after 30 years in this now, this is where I am. There's a lot of great companies in this industry. There's some average companies and there's some bad companies, just like every industry.
Mm-hmm.
But what I say to people who are looking to get involved with us now, I say, look, at the end of the day, there's only so much you can do. And a certain amount of your future is out of your hands, and it rests in the hands of the owners in which you choose to plant your flag. Not that we're perfect, but we've done it twice, and this is the third time. If building a network marketing or direct selling company was easy, our current president of the United States would have been successful when he tried his, but it failed miserably. Zig Ziglar was one of my favorite speakers on stage ever, but he tried to start a network marketing company and it failed miserably. So it's not easy to build a direct selling company, to be able to build a back office that pays in multiple currencies globally all over the world, you know, and keep that genealogy tree straight and making sense. And so anyway, it's a different skill set, and I've been fortunate to surround myself with people who have those skill sets. But I say to people, look, if you're willing to work hard, if you understand that in the beginning you're underpaid for your efforts, but if you choose a company with solid leadership, and Jeff and Jen, that's really what it comes down to in my mind. Products are important. The way you're compensated is important, but nothing compares to leadership or the lack thereof. I think families, communities, countries rise or fall based on the quality of leadership or the lack thereof, and network marketing companies are no different. So It helps to have built a couple of companies. I say documentation beats conversation. So success leads clues. You can say, hey, does the owner of this company have, what's he done in his past that gives me any sense that he has the capability of doing it again? And so we launched, I retired in 2014 and I tried retirement. I was bored out of my mind playing golf. And I really did. I just wasn't prepared for it. And so my wife had created this amazing property on 27 acres up by Park City, Utah. And I was loving I love our place, but I just wasn't speaking in anyone's life and I wasn't making a difference in anyone's life. So, and it was in the middle of the 2016 election. Remember the craziness? It was crazy and crazier. And we were out in Washington, D.C., and we went out to George Washington's home in Mount Vernon. And I just looked around and Carrie said, my gosh, I sat under an oak tree and I said, hey, George, is this what you envisioned for this country? Is this why you got on a horse and left Martha to go fight for this? Look around. And she said, man, what came to me, Dallin, is the words, we the people. And we're leaders. Let's put the golf clubs away and go out there and lead as wisely as we can to provide people a safe place where they can go build something. So that's what we did.
Hey, everybody. This is Gina Tremarco.
And Rachel Tipton.
And we are
Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the new podcast that does what?
Makes sales sexy again.
What's this podcast about, Rachel?
It's a blend of best business practices and real life hacks. And it's filled with laughter, random chatter, practical advice, and some serious stuff.
It's not just for women, though, right?
No, it's a blend of best business practices and real life hacks for men and for women.
Listen to us on the Sell or Die Network,
womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, and anywhere that you can find podcasts. And
be sure to subscribe, comment, share our podcast, and give us a review. Tune in and listen to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes sales sexy again.
You've been warned.
Okay, so we need you to tell us the secret. And by that, I'm not referring to the book. I'm referring to the fact that you're a C-level, you're a CEO, and you're the kind of person our diehards always want to get in to talk to. They always want to get to the decision maker, right? And so how can someone that's trying to sell something get to you or get to other people who are like you? What do they need to do?
Well, gosh, I'm a pretty visible person. I do Facebook Lives with our brand partners, people who call me and ask me. I try to make myself available because if I'm sitting in this office, I'm not an operational guy. I love the people. I love going out there and creating the relationships. Hey, they call me and I'm available. I did a state of the company call last night. I'm heading to Chicago next week. I'm on the road virtually every week helping people. The thing that's different with me this time around, I'm 59. My wife's 50. She'll be 51. She looks 20. She looks 29. She's a fitness expert and she'd take me down in about 5 seconds. She's crazy. She's crazy fit, Jill. So she keeps me in line, thank goodness. But we've got a blended family, his, hers, and ours. Tomorrow we celebrate our 16th wedding anniversary. We dated for 4 months and she was a jet pilot, by the way. And she said, step up or step aside. I stepped up. We got married.
Oh my God.
Man, where'd
he
go?
He put a ring on it.
Oh my gosh. She put the clothes on me like none other. And so all of a sudden I've got 8 kids to feed. And we started Monavi in 2005. We took that company from zero to over $900 million a year in sales in our third year. It was a crazy rocket ship. That's where I lost the rest of my hair. But anyway, I've been blessed beyond measure in this industry. So now where I am at 59, I figure I'm on third base. If life was a baseball diamond, I want to finish my life strong. Intention matters to me. I would say to anybody looking to get involved with the company, find out the intentions of the ownership. My intention is very clear. I'm the majority investor here. I did that because I wanted to control the outcome. I lost the control of the outcome of my former community. We sold a piece of that company to a private equity group and I lost control and I didn't like the result. So this time around, it's private. It's going to stay that way. And I'm not doing this because I have to. It's a get to and it makes all the difference in the world. This time around, my intention is to keep it private, to go out and bless as many people as we can, physically, financially, spiritually, all areas of their life. We're drilling wells over in Tanzania for children where over 2,000 of them die every day under the age of 5. My wife and I just got back. It's amazing. It's amazing in 2019, truly. when we can do so many amazing things, yet we can't get fresh water around the world. Mm-hmm. It's nuts.
Yeah, it is.
But so I love the culture that we're creating. And now it's about, I want to help as many other people's dreams come true. I've already had the yacht. I've had the private jet. I've had, I've played St. Andrews. I've been to the Masters. I've been to the Super. All of the things I had on my bucket list are now crossed off. And now it's about helping people cross things off their bucket list. And I like that.
You mentioned building, how do you say it? Monavi?
No,
Monavi.
Monavi.
Monavi. Yeah.
But I have some intel that tells me when you built that, you were on the brink of a bankruptcy. And is that true? And you took out a second mortgage? Tell us what had it?
Oh, me personally?
I think so.
I would say this, I married Carrie. I had walked away from USANA a few years earlier. I had gone through most of my savings. And unlike my sister, who was getting a check every week, I wasn't. So I thought, hey, I was still young enough to believe that I could do it again, full of confidence. I've done it. So I walked away from USANA. I just felt like it was time after 10 years. And so when I met Carrie, I didn't have a lot of money saved up. I was living in a condo. And all of a sudden, I had 8 kids to feed. I had the knots in the stomach figuring out, geez, this woman just walked away from the airlines to marry me. And I've got 8 kids with no help from her end, from her ex-husband. And I've got to feed 8 kids and my wife. And what am I going to do? And we were a couple months away from running out of savings. And then a friend of mine brought me the acai berry. A couple months later, we launched Monavi. And we made some commitments to one another. And truly, I got on my knees and I said, God, man, I need your help. Okay. And I'm willing to do this if you're willing to do that. And that's really a true story. And so a week after that, this is when this friend brought me the acai berry. A couple months later, we launched Monavi and we took it from 0 to $900 million in 3 years.
Holy shit.
And it was an amazing rocket ship where hundreds of millionaires were created. I've seen people make 100 a week and 150 grand a week and all ranges in between. Were I to do it over again, I would have done a few things differently because it didn't end like I wanted it to. I lost control, like I said.
What would you have done differently?
I wouldn't have moved from Utah to Florida and to leave the running of the business to someone else. I wouldn't have opened India and Korea. I wouldn't have written out some checks for people to come and join us at the time. I mean, we were flush with cash. And there's always people in transition from one company to another. And my heart was in the right place. I just wanted to provide people a safe landing spot. But I started, I wrote out some checks to people for a way for them to come over and help them, ease the burden or give them a safe landing spot. I probably spent $20 to $30 million doing that. And none of it came back.
Oh, wow.
And so
yeah, that's not good.
Those are, but the biggest thing of all is I never would have allowed $100 million check to be written out for 12% of the company. But imagine that, 3 or 4 years into that company, it's valued over $1 billion. And so all the investors said, that's a good deal. We'll take some chips off the table. We still own the majority. But that equity was converted into debt. The economy hit, some other things happened. It started going backwards. In a networking company, probably just like traditional business, once the momentum curve switches on you, it's very hard to change that curve.
Yeah.
Impossible.
Herbalife did it.
Yeah.
But they're about the only one that's been able to do it.
Do you think they did it because of the Jim Rohn influence?
I think he was an enormous influence. And I think a few people really turned that thing around and they're heroes in my eyes because that's like the impossible dream.
I don't want to say anything bad about anybody, but I went to an Amway meeting. I got tricked into going to an Amway meeting one time. And some guy got up there and with his wife and he said, if I can do it, you can do it. And I thought, that's a bunch of bullshit. I couldn't buy that under any circumstances. But what I thought to myself is, okay, this guy did it. And what it means is it can be done. Mm-hmm. Not if I can do it, you can do it. But if I can do it, it can be done. I've proven that. And that's the message that I would rather follow because that gives me my own path to take rather than try to replicate or duplicate his path.
Yeah, it's possible. I always say what one man or woman can do,
yeah,
so can another if they've got a big enough why. here, I want to share just a quick story on why I love this industry. It was 1991. I actually got involved in this industry as a distributor, Nu Skin. I liked the concept, but I hated the idea of rubbing cream on people, on men's faces, right? So I didn't do particularly well there, but one door opened another, that opened another. And then in 1991, I helped start a company by the name of USANA. It's now a 28-year-old company doing over $1 billion a year around the world. It's a very solid, great company. But I come from a family of 10 kids. My parents were married 62 years. Wow. I always say they gave me roots and wings, not loot and things. Yeah. And they really sewed into me. And so I thought, okay, I've got a network right now, all my brothers and sisters. So I was starting this company. I called all nine of them. None of them but one would listen to me. And that's still the case today because they know me too well. I'm the guy that got 13 on the ACT. Down's going to do what?
Yeah, exactly.
Get serious. But my sister was living in San Diego at the time in 1991, Encinitas actually. Her husband had just left with the secretary. No child support, no alimony. My sister hadn't been to a day of college. She got married too young. She had five kids. Two of those kids had a disease called cystic fibrosis and a terminal disease. And so that was the situation in 91 my sister found herself in. A long story short, I introduced her to this industry. She had a big why. Her why was to feed those kids and to try to save her daughter's lives. And she went from $8 an hour to $1 million a year earner in this industry because she went to work like none other. Mm-hmm. And 7 years ago, last month, my niece, Charlie, got the call from the Stanford Medical Center. And she went in on that day, and my sister bought her daughter two lungs and a heart. And it's an amazing story of belief and faith and passion and courage. And that sister of mine, man, she made millions. She's made millions. In fact, she's earned a check every week for 28 years. And when people ask her, well, geez, how much did you make your first couple months? She says this, I don't know. They're still paying me. And that's the power of networking, guys. That mm-hmm. It's cool. The power of being paid over and over again. It's like I've got this Napoleon Hill book, Jeff, you wrote, Truthful Living. You know, anytime someone buys that book, you're probably going to make a royalty. So, you know, it's getting paid over and over again for what you do. And Warren Buffett was right when he said, if you don't figure out how to make money while you sleep, you're going to work till you die. And that's the dream of networking. It rarely works out for people because either the company goes out of business or they give up because they're not making enough money and or whatever, right? But for the few people who are willing to fight through and work on themselves and become better in their skills, like my sister, what it's possible to get involved in this industry with a company with solid leadership at the right time, with products that are demonstrable that customers want, regardless of the opportunity to make money, mm-hmm. and earn a check every week for 28 years. That's what's possible. That's what I've seen and experienced.
So earlier you said, I think that's great, by the way, about your sister. That's such an inspiring story. Yeah, it's really moving. Incredible.
The emotion of it cannot be denied. The success of it is one thing. But
and it's true. And it's true. And that's what makes it the best kind of a story.
Yeah.
So earlier you said, if it is to be, it's up to me. What are some of the qualities to be very successful in direct selling? Because I think they're going to lend over to selling as well for our diehards. But what are some of the qualities you feel are most important someone has?
Well, I think they need to understand goal setting. I think they ought to read your book, Truthful Living by Napoleon Hill. There wasn't anybody better than Napoleon Hill. And understand the power of goals. Not everyone's an entrepreneur. Most people are wired to be an employee. This is not an employee mindset. It's an entrepreneurial mindset. So you need to set some goals. You need to surround yourself with people that are like-minded. I tell people, be careful who you allow into your circle of influence and who you listen to. Why would you take financial advice from someone who's broke? Stop doing it. So be careful who you listen to. Start setting some goals. Understand that this is going to take persistence, commitment, determination. And another thing I think is very important is, again, after all you can do, make sure you choose wisely the company. Also, make sure you choose wisely who you allow to bring into the business, because this is going to become your family. You don't want to be sponsored by someone who's not serious about it. You want to be sponsored by someone who can help you improve your skills. And then you need to become likable. That's a big, big thing. To the degree that you're able to work on your communication skills, whether that's to get involved with Toastmasters and work on that. People are not very good at this business naturally, and most people quit before they become good, unfortunately. I like Malcolm Gladwell's book, The Outlier, where he says, don't expect to become an expert in anything until you put 10,000 hours into it. I've put my 10,000 hours into networking. Most people don't put the requisite amount of time that allows them to develop the skills to improve, that allow them to be able to build a big organization that can take them around the world. That's the sad part of it.
I wrote a piece about a decade ago when I was involved with the People's Network with Jeff Olson.
Yep. Jeff Olson and those guys.
Error War, yep. Yeah. I was one of the main guys there. And I wrote a piece called "You Can't Get Past the Three-Year Crazy Rule."
What is that?
Somebody opens up an opportunity to you in direct selling or network marketing, and you tell your friend about it, and he goes, "You're crazy." And then you get all excited, and you go to your best friend, and you're, "I got this. It's going to be this. I'm going to get three people, five people." And the guy looks at your best friend, looks at you, and says, "You're crazy." Then you go to your mother, and you go, "Ma, I got this opportunity. It's like the best thing I've ever heard of." And she explains the whole thing, and your mother looks at you and says, "You're crazy."
Jeff, that never happens.
And you quit. You can't get past three-year crazies. And if you can't get past that, you cannot succeed.
Well, you're going to have to – I say to people, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to get rejected by some people, no doubt. Happens to everybody. Look, I've now done billions in this business. Only one of my nine brothers and sisters are involved with me.
What?
So, yeah, it's a true story. Actually, in USANA, when my sister started making a bunch of money, they all got in. But it's because she was making money. Because, again, I'm the guy that was slugged in the face and got a 13. I know nothing. I know nothing.
Exactly. Yeah, you look like you know nothing.
Yeah, you sound like it too.
So you gotta realize you're gonna face some rejection. And here, there's a lot of companies that start. The only companies that go on to become legacy companies are companies that have a product that customers are willing to buy, because most companies are a sign up and they go from one country to the next as soon as they burn through the people and the body bags are on the side of the road. I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's true. I think it's a fair criticism of network marketing that they've generally had overpriced products to be able to, what do you mean these products are expensive? Obviously, you don't understand the compensation plan.
Yeah, exactly. There's too much emphasis on how much money you're going to make rather than how good the product works.
Yeah.
True.
Is awesome. I really liked him. And I think that people discredit MLM right off the bat because like they think it's some pyramid scheme or whatever. And in reality, there have been some bad MLMs, but that doesn't make every MLM bad.
There's
bad things in every industry. That doesn't mean they're all bad. So you know what? This guy's a good seed. He's freaking phenomenal. And I feel fortunate that he was willing to come chat with us.
I do too.
You know, Dallin warned in the interview about going into business with people who can burn you. Do you have any stories about any partnerships that went bad?
You're talking about marriage partnerships?
Business partnerships. I know about
business. No, not mine. Oh. Just look at Jeff Bezos. He's got an issue, I think.
I was actually talking about business, honey.
Business like partners?
Money. Yes, yes.
Well, obviously, there's a ton of them. I think that it's not really fair to name names in this because I may know some things that other people don't know, and I don't want to get them in trouble. But I would just say this. If you don't have the harmony with one another, you will never have the harmony in the business. You can't go in and argue your way to success. You can't go in and cut your way to success. You have to go in and sell your way to success, and that has to be done with all hands on deck.
And with 100% ethics.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Here's a related point. Dallin, he regularly brings up the regret of not being more hands-on when it comes to his business. So are salespeople too passive? I don't know.
Sometimes they are too passive, I think. I mean, you, listener, you may be one of the great ones, but there are a lot of salespeople out there who want all the leads to just come to them. They don't want to go out there and network. They don't want to go out there and spread the word or go on social media and do the tweets that it needs to, that they need to make, or the posts on LinkedIn or the connections. And they're just waiting for things to come to them.
No, they're waiting for someone to give them a set of leads that will turn into sales.
Right. Rather than creating their own leads, creating their own sales momentum and getting to that customer. And so I think that there are a lot of salespeople out there who are too passive because they have this expectation of what's supposed to be coming to them.
And some of the larger companies have marketing departments that do get leads, and salespeople come in and go, you got any leads? And I'm just going to tell you, just write this down if you're taking notes. Get your own fucking leads and do it in a way that has value, and do it in a way that has attraction, and people will want to see you, not compromise to see you.
That's right. All right. So you guys, we have the 2020 Sales Vision Group. If you have a question that you need answered, then you need to sign up for the 2020 Sales Vision Facebook group, because for only $20 a month, you get sales feedback from not only Jeffrey and myself, but also your peers who are going through similar challenges and struggles. And then we go live in there regularly. We're literally in there weekly to help you sort out any issues or give you advice and help you get to the next level. And literally, it's the cost of what? Like a month of Netflix?
Here's the deal. Why don't you tell me how much money you've made in your Netflix subscription? We can double that.
Way more than that. So go to 2020salesvision.com. We will put the link in the show notes. Make sure you get enrolled in that group. The price may be going up soon, but we want to get you in right now for only $20 a month.
Thank you for being our diehards.
That's right. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
Diehards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.